The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 62, The Mystery of the Faith, Rejoice in the Lord. Scriptures. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:1-3. But without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Hebrews 11:6, Amplified Bible. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Matthew 24:15-18. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, or as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53:7-12. From Psalm 17:1-15, a prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps, they have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in the secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:4-9. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot see him, on the left hand where he works, but I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast in his steps. I have kept his way. I have not fallen away, nor have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? Yea, what his soul desires, he does it. For he fulfilled my lot, and many things like these are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I look, I am afraid of him, for God makes my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me, because I was not cut off from before the darkness. Yea, he covered the darkness from my face. Job 23:8-17, Modern King James Version. End Scriptures. Two visions. Note: the following visions were given in this order, albeit the second vision seems like it should be the first. However, this was the way it was given, and this is the way that I will write them. First vision. One man, the overcoming company, walked through the course of this world as it were upon a clay-covered pathway. As this one man walked forward through all the systems and objects that man had built, all that was around them collapsed completely. This one man was in an eternal, glorified body, in unity, perfect as the risen Lord is perfect in his image, with a face that looked as though it were the face of Jesus. So perfect was their identity with the risen Lord. They walked forward through the countryside. They walked forward through the cities. As they walked, all the structures of man's present society collapsed around them into clouds of dust. Nothing remained standing whatsoever as this one man moved forward in holy motion with divine power and with the unction of the Lord upon them. This has not yet been. It is yet to come to pass. For this one many-membered man were in bodies glorified. These who had finished their courses in faith and had no more human flesh or nature upon them that was not transformed by the power of God into flesh resurrected. As they walked forward, they had bodies that were raised from death, and they collapsed all the systems and structures of man. Downward into the depths of the earth they did walk forward, their march being perfect. Down through the past dispensations of time, down into the realms of those who lay dead, even to the generations past. Down unto them did they walk and march forward with nothing separating them from their appointed task. Nothing survived their forward walk, ending perfectly all the ways of man. Everyone that they walked to was in time raised as they were raised. All so that man would enter into this which was rising, even the dawning of the kingdom of God upon this present earth, the promised age of his everlasting kingdom. End vision. Second vision. The world's systems, all the structures of man, and all the things that man's modern society had built was pressing in upon those who were yet in the throes of their personal cross. As the cross worked upon these, so too did the systems of man work upon them in persecutions and in causing them to be oppressed with the overbearing controls and governments of man. The worldwide systems worked in such a manner as to break down and discourage and to grind down and to collapse the heart and the soul of the overcomer in such a way that they had no more life of their own in the world of men. They were in the world, but the world did not belong to them. They were suffering the perils of death and dying upon their own crosses, but the world had no compassion for their tribulations. The world at the same time suffered much in the way of shakings and tribulations, but no place more than the groundwork which supported the upright members of the cross for each singular overcomer, spread out in time and distance across the face of the earth. This was in present time. The cross is not yet done in the life of the overcomer. For anyone to say that it is, they are deluded, and they have fallen short of the high calling of God, for not having heard clearly the voice of resurrection power. Only those who were obedient even unto the death of the cross will rise in company and in unity with them who suffered likewise. This resurrection is yet to be. One cannot have the glory of resurrection without first suffering the agony of crucifixion. I saw that there were few who accepted the long drawn-out process of the cross, that these few also partook of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and they were raised up together as one man in the end of this time of tribulation and of the throes that yet remain to be fulfilled upon the personal cross. The cross does not end until the time of resurrection, which the Lord alone holds in his hands, and which he will do with those who obeyed this call. The Lord used the present world to effect the working of the cross in various measures upon those who partook of this suffering and vision. Each son or daughter of the Lord who has heard the higher call has taken upon themselves the great task of putting to death their own flesh nature, their own carnality, this by obeying the command of the Lord to take up their cross and follow him. There are very clear indications in the present life of the overcomer, which shows us that the greatest temptation is to deny that this cross must continue its work until it is completed. The temptations that come derive themselves from forces of carnality, which tell one that Jesus paid the price for our sins, purged of them, so why then should you also have to suffer? This is true in a measure, but it is only in a measure. The sufferings of this present time are related to the increased pressures in the world brought upon us by God himself, who has ordained that this happens. For those who wish to awaken in the likeness of the Lord in the first resurrection, this process of being identified with Jesus upon the cross is not yet fully complete. So then, the temptation of this hour is to think that the personal cross has come to an end as regards to the carnal nature found in flesh. The body is dead because of sin, but it must remain dead by continued obedience. Right now, an army of teaching spirits has descended upon the company of overcomers to take them to the place where they think their sufferings of personal crucifixion are over. This is the temptation of this hour. We are to rejoice in the Lord in all things, even the negative things, also that our concentration and eyesight is upon him alone. We rejoice not in the trials, we grieve over them, We rejoice not in the tribulations, we wish they were done, but we learn to glory in both trials and tribulations when we accept them as part of our processing from the hand of the Lord. Things are getting more and more perplexed as time goes on in the world. Many signs are indicating that the Lord's coming to take up his saints in the first resurrection is about to take place. There will be two more resurrections afterwards, but they will be ages apart. The first resurrection is what the portent of this writing is about. The greatest sign we have is the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place as God, saying, "I am God." Perhaps I sound like a broken record, as my words have warned people over and over again of this, but it is necessary so that we can truly rejoice and glory in the Lord, who is working in us to perfect all of this which concerns our lives. The fruit of the abomination of desolation, let's call it perdition, is what I term the prosperity doctrine. This prosperity doctrine comes in many forms, but the fruit of it is always the same. The perdition in our day tells us that we need not be identified a minute longer with the sufferings of Jesus, but instead we can be free and prosper in whatever doctrine or worldly thing we fancy. This catering to the carnal appetite of the flesh is what perdition does, all in the guise of the Lord, but it is not the Lord. We see this perdition first persecuting the overcomer, then perplexing the overcomer, then finally telling the overcomer that their course is done and finished and that they have no further cross to bear. From there the wrong tree sprouts, and that tree is just an off-root shoot from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It grows a tree which pampers the carnal nature of man when it comes to worldly wealth or religious doctrine. The main doctrine is that we are finished, that we are not going to be finished with the personal cross until either 1, the Lord comes, or 2, we finish our course and pass from this world through the death of the physical body. You cannot be alive in the flesh body you are in now and think that you have no more crucifixion process. It is not in the time frame of the motion of the Lord's Spirit. This will be so for many nations in that day when the kingdom of God is established upon the earth, but not until that time. When this doctrine is seen, a delusion is seen, and when this delusion is discerned, flee it. Come not down out of the housetop to take along with themselves anything of the house. If you are in the field, come not back to gather your clothes. Flee into the mountains, run from those you see tempted by this prosperity message. This is the peril of this hour. This is the temptation of the abomination that makes desolate. For the overcomer, the pressures of this world, of our children or parents or relations, of the massive melee of the drug scene or of the conspiracy scene, all of this works upon us, this cross. Right now at this time, the Lord is allowing the worst thing imaginable to happen to his children. That which they feared the most, like Job of old, who learned the worst in his time, that is what is happening unto the true sons and daughters called to the first resurrection. They are finding that what they desire and want in life is not being given to them. What they long for and hope for is distanced from them, and instead the pressures of the world around them is increasing day by day, and they're being overcome by it minute by minute. The loved ones are not walking in what they would desire to see in them, and even their own steps are often a disgrace for them to think of. Some may not have such a depth of perplexity happening, but from what I hear and see, many are almost totally despairing of their life in this world. The worst of the worst seems to be happening to them all when they stated to the Lord that they would be found as overcomers in this present evil world. When the son or daughter of the Lord asks for the right to overcome all things as Jesus did, the Lord immediately removed from them the props that come by this present prosperity message that is flooding the earth as though it were vomit from the dragon's mouth. Instead of being taken up with the right to have whatever they fancied in this world, God being the servant to give it to them, they instead find that incredible hardships and trials hit them repeatedly, and they found that they were in the throes of being dealt with by the hard chastening rod of the Lord, whipped across their backs in a repeated fashion until their very will was broken. This rod of correction is not yet done. It is still ongoing, and it is still working, and it is still going to work until the course of our faith is at an end. After all, this is part of faith's mystery. We find that the Lord allows the circumstances in the world and the care and concern for our loved ones to be the harbingers of doom to us as we see the opposite happening from what we thought we desired. When we came to the Lord to overcome, we ended up being impaled, beaten, and taken aside to be nailed to the cross and kept there for the long, lingering death process of our carnal nature. Add to this the peril of this hour, and that is where we are. We also partake in Jesus' sufferings. As I stated previous, the presence of the Lord has waned from us. Is this not the same sort of suffering Jesus endured upon his cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We cry the same. And did not Jesus also upon that cross endure the spite and the hatred of the world he died to, that Roman world of men so cruel that mockery was the best they could do for a condemned man? We suffer the same. Instead of finding the peace of the Lord in this world, we find it only in our faith carrying us through this process until we are done with it. That faith must keep us, not the prosperity message telling us that it is all done now and that we have nothing more to suffer. There are some who have called me or emailed me who are suffering the most horrendous things, all with no deliverance, but it will work a much greater resurrection for them. The key is that our strength is only in the joy of the Lord. If you will, rejoicing in Him. When the powers of such tribulation are upon you, much greater is the power of His resurrection life. So great is His power to raise you up in the midst of your sufferings that as you go through them, you emerge on the other side of them with great joy. We joy in the Lord, not in the fact that tribulation is upon us, or trial, or the denial of what we wanted in this world. We joy in Him alone, because when we do, we find our lives fixed upon His face, and He perfects that which concerns us. Nothing more need be done or added to us as He finishes in us His perfect work. We rejoice in tribulation because this tribulation works patience. We rejoice in this patience, this long drawn out process of long suffering and trial, because the end of that patience brings works experience, the life lesson we cannot forget. We rejoice in experience because it renews and gives hope for that which is to come for us, the finality of His perfect work and our walking in His exact image. For all of this we are not ashamed because of His love given to us. The Lord's army is an army which will destroy all the ways of man, yes, but all to bring to man the love of God without any division, partiality, or discord. The overcomer once raised at the coming of the Lord will remove all death from this present creation wherever it is found and replace that death with the love of God. Rejoice with exceeding great joy when you find yourself in the throes of the cross. Joy in the fact that your steps are not measured to you in the prosperity message that permeates our modern world. Rather rejoice when the Lord does not give you what you think you desire. Rejoice not in the circumstances around you, not in the lack you suffer, not in the persecution you endure, but rejoice in the Lord alone. Let the Lord be your joy. Let the Lord be your strength. If you walk right or if you walk wrong, give all of it to Him, rejoicing in the fact that you are accepted of Him. Rejoice in the fact that your life is measured to you in daily trial, not the prosperous message of no cross or lots of money or worldly things. I'd much rather be in obedience to the cross than to live in the ivory palace of contentment with worldly gain. I'd much rather save up for my future in the Lord's kingdom rather than to store riches in this present world, which is about to utterly collapse. I'd much rather be counted as a criminal than to be counted as holy when that holiness is based on whatever gain I had through a false prosperity. I want to know of His sufferings fully so I can know of His resurrection fully. Nothing else can sway me. It is the Lord I joy in because He is pleased to give it to anyone who desires to overcome all things with Jesus and to be found in Him perfect at His coming. Then we will have the reward of righteousness and praise from God. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.